Many years ago, evangelist John Rice preached a Christmas sermon in which he was preaching on this passage of Scripture with the angels bringing the message to the shepherds of Christ's birth. And the title of the message was, "The Angels Said Merry Christmas." And I thought, oh, that was good. That was a condensation of what is being described here, but it certainly gets to the heart of what was taking place. As the Scripture says, the angel of the Lord spoke first and then was joined by a multitude. "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." That's Merry Christmas. That encompasses, those verses just tell us that is what the Christmas story is all about. Well, as you know, through this Christmas season, I've been bringing a series of messages on the songs of Christmas. We began with Mary's song, and then we looked at Zachariah's song. This morning, we're considering the angel's song. Lord willing, next week, we'll close this series with Simeon's song. And there are some things that tie those songs together. One is the fact that each of those groups acknowledges that there is a Savior, Mary's song. And we called attention to this. She said, "My Savior." She rejoiced in the fact that her sins were going to be covered by the one that she would bring into the earth through physical birth. And so she called Christ, "My Savior." We're open in our Bibles here to Luke. Look at chapter 1 and verse 69, and that is part of Simeon's song that we looked at last week, as he says, "And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." And he is speaking there again prophetically of Christ, talking about the fact that he is the horn of salvation, the strength of salvation. The angel's song, the angel's word, a Savior is born in Bethlehem. And then Simeon's, that we'll look at next week, chapter 2 and verse 30. Simeon is speaking, he says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Each of those songs calls attention to the fact that it is a Savior that is born. And more than anything else that we need, anything that could be talked about, we need a Savior. We are, as we talked a little bit last week, we are on a ship that is going down. If God does not provide deliverance, then there is no deliverance. A Savior was given. What a joy that is. And that brings me to the next part of the introduction. There are themes that tie this together. One of them, a Savior. Also, joy. And on a Sunday evening here in December, we consider the aspects of joy as it relates to the Christmas account. The joy that Zacharias and Elizabeth experienced when they found out that she was with child and she was going to be the mother of the forerunner of Christ. The joy that came to Mary and Joseph when they realized that they had been called of God to do a special task. The joy that the shepherds experienced when they received this message. And the joy that the three kings, the wise men, however many there were, but the wise men, after they had been to King Herod, because they saw the star in the east, they didn't follow the star. There was no star to follow as far as leading them, a popular misconception. But so they went to Jerusalem, not to Bethlehem. They went to King Herod. Where would you expect to find he that is born King of the Jews? And the Scripture says that when they left Herod, the star that they had seen in the east appeared again. And they rejoiced in that. Their efforts and the time that they had committed to make this long journey was not going to be lost. It was going to be met with their getting to see the King of the Jews. And so there was joy. That theme of joy is in these messages and in the account of Scripture as we look at it in both Matthew and Luke's Gospel. So this morning we're considering together the angel's song. We're going to look at, appropriately enough, the choir. And then we're going to consider the child, and then we're going to consider the choice. The choir, the child, the choice. The choir is described in verses 8 through 14, where, again, the angel of the Lord first speaks, and then he is joined by an angelic choir. He speaks the word to them there in verse 9, after it says that the shepherds were sore afraid, a common response, by the way. The angel told Mary, don't be fearful. He told the shepherds, don't be fearful. He told Zacharias, when he saw an angel in the temple, don't be fearful. Fear not, the angel said, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So the angels are bringing that message, and what a message of joy it is, as they sang in the heavens above Bethlehem, and the shepherds were the first to receive the word that the Messiah, the Christ of God, had been born. And they were the recipients of it. What a marvelous thing it was for them to be a part of that. One of the things that I have incorporated into this message, and you're going to hear these two words together, if I get the message right, you're going to hear them together in each of the three points of the message, and that is the words mystery and history. And I've, as the choir sang this morning, one of their songs, one of their carols, had the word mystery in it. We're thinking about that in the idea of God revealing something to his people that is awesome, that is of God and not of man. And yet woven throughout the Christmas account, there is not only the mystery and the wonder, but the history, the fact that it is happening, and it is happening for human beings. And human beings are being caught up in what God is revealing to them, again, of mystery, but also of history. And I'm not saying that what is of mystery is not historical or did not happen. It did. But those two things are woven together. And here it is, as angels, first the angel of the Lord, and then angels, a multitude of the heavenly host, are singing praises, and yet it is to shepherds. We talked earlier in one of these evening messages about the shepherds had a lowly position in society, and yet they were the ones that the Lord said, give the message to them first. There is the mystery, angels. There is the history. It is the shepherds, and they are receiving from God that which is of wonder, that which is of amazement. They were sore afraid, the scripture says. And then the Lord speaks to them, the angel of the Lord. You don't have to fear. You don't have to tremble with fear. You can tremble with joy, but you can rejoice in what the Lord has done, because the angels are bringing the message, Merry Christmas. I was getting some ice cream at Martin's this past week. I picked a checkout that wasn't too busy. That's all I had. I had four containers of ice cream. You say, preacher, what were you doing with four containers? You get three guesses. The first two don't count. That's what we used to say as kids. Yeah, it was for Carol and me. Not all at once now, but... Okay, so I'm here with my four containers. I'm waiting for the person in front of me. And there is a lady comes up behind me, and I don't see her till she speaks. But she says, what you have in your checkout is going to be a lot better than what I have. And I acknowledged her. I didn't know her. She didn't know me. And I looked. She had some cheese and celery. So I knew what she was talking about. Now, she is important to the story. That's why I'm bringing her in at this point. So I got up. I paid for my four small containers of ice cream. All containers of ice cream now are small. You know, they reduced them down. And the cashier said to me, Merry Christmas. And I said, thank you for saying Merry Christmas. Now, I was going to say a little bit more, but before I could, the cashier said, they tell me, she didn't define who they tell me I should say Happy Holidays or Season's Greetings, but I like to say Merry Christmas. And I was going to respond to that, but the lady behind me with the cheese and celery, she said, you keep saying Merry Christmas. You keep right on doing that. And at that point, I'm in a conversation between two ladies. I said, forgive me, ladies. I'm just telling this story. I said, amen. And I was out of there. That will be one of my Christmas memories from 2017. Merry Christmas. That was the message that the angel choir brought to the shepherds. The angel song, the choir. Secondly, the angel song, the child. And of course, that is the focus of Christmas. And that's talked about in verses 11 through 16. We've talked already, a Savior, Christ, the Lord. And yet, and here is this mystery and history, Christ the Lord. But the angel says to the shepherds, you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. The awesomeness of God, the eternal God, coming in human flesh, coming in human flesh, and we call that the incarnation, God becoming man. Christ did not begin at Bethlehem. He is the eternal God. And yet, the message was, you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And I don't say this every Christmas, but a fair number, swaddling clothes. That was strips or bands of cloth that were wrapped tightly around a newborn baby. There were various things that did. One was the feeling of security. It's just left a mother, and now it's out in the world, if you will, and to wrap them in swaddling clothes brought a feeling of comfort and security to a newborn child. I think it also had something to do in that day even with purposes and reasons of health. But here is the message, and this is the child, and they are to go and to find its child, and they are to worship him, and they know that he is in Bethlehem, and again, that he is wrapped in swaddling clothes, and you will find him in the manger. The incarnation, the wonder, the mystery, the awesomeness of God stepping into human history through a tiny baby, something that never happened before, will never happen again. But that is a fundamental of the faith. That is a part of the bedrock of what we believe as Christians, that Christ, the eternal God, was indeed born, that he had a real body. It was not just the appearance of a body. He had a real body. He had a body that would feel pain, and it was going to feel pain, and it was going to be a body that would ultimately and finally be given over to death on the cross. In one of the earlier messages of this series, I quoted a few lines of the Christmas carol, Mary, Did You Know? And one of the lines that I didn't quote, but Mary, did you know? When you kissed your baby boy, you kissed the face of God. Now that's mystery, and that's history. When you kissed your baby boy, history, you kissed the face of God, mystery. And again, and I'm reminding you when I'm using this word mystery and history, I'm not saying it wasn't history, the mystery of it, but there was that of God that was involved in what was taking place. Mary, did you know? Yes, something of that she did know. God had been speaking to her. When at some point, the baby Jesus wrapped his hand around his mother's finger, her finger was grasped by the hand that had flung millions and billions and trillions of stars and galaxy into space. Wow. Mystery and history. The child is like no other. Those words, I keep putting them together, and for me, much of Christmas is music. Carol and I told a couple of ladies from the congregation earlier this week, we used to begin the Christmas season after Thanksgiving. That's when I'd get out the Christmas music. Now, we have it in three formats. We have LPs, we have cassette tapes, and we have CDs. And we have the means to play all three of them. And it used to be that after Thanksgiving, we'd start playing Christmas music. And Carol said a couple of years ago, you know, we have so much Christmas music. Why do you wait till after Thanksgiving? So we start playing Christmas music, the first week of November is when we started. Christmas and what it means is very much encompassed in the music. And as I was preparing this message this week, my mind went to a Christmas song. I don't believe we have a recording of this, and Carol and I, but it's a Ralph Carmichael piece, and you'll understand. I will celebrate Nativity, for it has a place in history. That's the first line of the song. And when I was thinking about history and nativity and mystery and history, I thought about that hymn that I hadn't thought about in a long time. I will celebrate nativity, for it has a place in history. Sure, he came to set his people free. What is that to me? Till by faith I met him face to face, and I felt the wonder of his grace. Then I knew that he was more than just a God who didn't care, who lives away out there. And now he walks beside me day by day, ever watching o'er me lest I stray, helping me to find that narrow way. He's everything to me. And that's the title of that. He's everything to me. Yes, I'll celebrate Nativity. A lot of people celebrate Christmas. But he's saying in that, it was just a fact of history until I met the Savior face to face, until I came to know him, and then it meant so much more than it ever had before. Mystery and history wrapped together. Another word, and we'll move on. In this passage, and we're talking about Christ the child, look in your Bibles, if you would, again, at verses 16 and 17. It says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." I just want to call attention to the fact that what the shepherds had seen with the angel choir, when they had seen it, they made known abroad what was told to them. Verse 16, they came with haste. They came with excitement. They came with speed. Sure, they made positive that the sheep were going to be watched over, but they came quickly to the manger. And after that, when they had seen the Christ child, they made known abroad what was told them concerning this child. They went with obedience. They went with haste. And they realized that they had something that was too good to keep to themselves, and they were sharing that, and they were giving that to others. The obedience, the immediacy of their obedience, and the right attitude. They came rejoicing, and they came with gladness. The angel's song, the choir, the child, and the choice. And you'll find that in the last three verses that Tom read for us this morning, verses 18, 19, and 20. There are three groups or individuals that are represented in those three verses. Look at it, if you would, in your Bibles. It says, "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." The shepherds went with haste to see the Christ child, and then they made known abroad that they had seen him and what the Lord had revealed to them. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So that's the first group. The group that the shepherds told the good news, the Merry Christmas, if you will, that they shared that message and they gave it to them. That's the first group. The second one is the individual Mary. Verse 19, but Mary kept all these things, and the scripture says, and pondered them in her heart. That word pondered, that verse is the only place in the New Testament where that word is used. It said that the people wondered about what the shepherds told them, but it says that Mary pondered it. She thought about it deeply. She weighed it carefully, and she kept it in her heart. That this was not just information to be received and let go, but it became a part of who she was and what she was. She was pondering that. She was thinking it. She was weighing what the message was and what she had experienced by the shepherds coming and saying, there was an angel choir that announced the birth of baby Jesus. Pondered, weighed in her heart. As I look into your faces this morning, I am looking into the faces of, without exception in this auditorium this morning, people who have heard the message and you have wondered, you have thought, you have considered it. And many, many, many of you have taken that even a step further and not only wondered at it, but you have pondered it in your mind and in your heart. And at some point in your life, you came to Christ and you trusted Him and you received Him as your Savior. Because not only did you wonder at the mystery and not only did you weigh it, but you acted upon it in faith. And you said, I believe that. The choir sang this morning a couple of times about the greatest story ever told. You and I heard at some point in our life the greatest story ever told, and we weighed that, we pondered it, and we acted in faith upon it and trusted Christ as our Savior. And that is what is taking place here as this message is going out and as people are responding to it. And there is there, in verse 20, there is the third group, and it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They were the recipients, if you will, of mystery and history. They were glorifying and praising God that they had been singled out and had been given such a tremendous revelation, a tremendous experience of God's presence. And now it was their privilege to take that and share that with others. By the way, the same privilege that every believer has, the greatest story ever told. And we get to tell it and we get to share it. And it can't stop with us. It's not something that, okay, we receive this information and we believe on Christ and it ends there. It's a message that we carry and we share with others just as surely as they did. But I've titled this third point, The Choice, because each was making a choice and each was doing something with the information that they had received. The choice to receive Christ, to live for Him, to live with obedience, to live with joy, to speak forth who He is. And we know not from this particular account that's before us, but we know, and I referenced it just briefly in the message, King Herod was troubled and all Jerusalem with him when the wise men came and said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? All of Jerusalem, it says, was moved, was troubled. Now, some of them moved from a time of concern to a time in their life of belief. But they knew that if there was a king born, that something was going to happen politically. Something was going to happen that was going to have an influence and an impact that was going to change their life. They didn't know how, but it was going to change them. A choice is made. A decision is made. I said a couple of minutes ago, a lot of people, in one way or another, celebrate Christmas. Even those who have heard the name of Christ and know something about His coming, but multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of people do nothing with it spiritually. For them, Christmas is drugs or a bottle or things or a flurry of activity. Notice verse 14, if you would, in your Bibles, where it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And people who know much about Christmas and yet are trying to find it in the things of the world, and they don't find the peace, and they're not going to, because the peace is not in those things. The peace of Christmas is in a person, Christ Jesus. And when we know Him and we are related to Him through the new birth, then the joy of Christmas becomes ours. And the peace of Christmas becomes ours. And we realize in some of the trappings that I mentioned there, a flurry of activities and exchanging of gifts and sharing of gifts, and those things have a place, a part in Christmas. But the joy of Christmas is the Savior who came to give us peace. And we know as believers that eventually He will come again and He will restore peace to this earth. But in the meantime, we can know the peace that passes all understanding. And we know, and I never like this time of Christmas, but we know that down the road, the time will come where we take down the decorations and we take down the tree and we put a, for my situation, I put away the trains that are under the tree. I don't like that. I don't like putting away the decorations. I like getting them out. I like putting them up, but I don't like taking them down. But thanks be to God, our joy and our peace in Christ is not in the decorations, not in the tree, and not in the trains, or whatever else we may have as a part of our Christmas. But our joy is in Him. The one who came to give us joy. The one who came, who said over and over and over to His people throughout the centuries, "Fear not, fear not, fear not." You watch it sometime in the Bible. Almost without exception, when God reveals Himself to His people in some manner, almost the first words that the Lord speaks, He says, "Fear not, fear not, fear not." What a message. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fear for the future. We can have joy. We can have peace. And we do in Christ Jesus. And it all comes down to the choice that we make and what we do with Him. Christian, let me ask you a couple of questions. Sometimes I ask believers maybe one question in closing. Let me ask you a couple of questions this morning. Search your own heart. Is the joy of Christmas there, the joy of Christ there in your heart at this moment? Or is it filled with anxiety? Is it filled with fear? Is it filled with doubt? Is it filled with something else? Is the joy there? What about the peace that passes all understanding? And we live in a troubled world, and we understand that, and we know that. But above that, and beyond that, and in spite of that, we can have the peace that passes all understanding. Not just in the fact that Christ is coming again, and He will. Not just in the fact that He will establish peace on the earth, and He will. But the peace that we have in our minds and hearts even right now. Believer, is that peace reigning and ruling in your heart right now? I'm not done asking believers questions. Let me ask you a question. The shepherds came with haste and with joy, and they found the baby Jesus, and they made known abroad. And I've said it before, but I'm saying it again. The good news, the greatest story ever told, that is our story. Not just so it can feed our minds and our hearts, but that it is a message that we have to give to others. And to share to others, even as the ladies there in the store talking back and forth, "Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas." That's our right as believers to share that and to say that, knowing from our hearts what it means and trusting that others do as well. The choices of Christmas. Child of God, don't get so caught up in the trappings and in the perimeters of Christmas that you let the joy go, and you let the peace go, and you let the message go that is ours to give. In closing, let me say to anyone that is here this morning and you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, the joy and the peace and the deliverance from fear, the fear of death, the fear of the tomb, the fear of condemnation and judgment from God, all of that is removed in the person of Christ Jesus. Only He can meet the deepest longings of any of our hearts and any of our minds and any of our souls. And that's why Mary kept those things in her heart and she continued to ponder them, because she knew that what was taking place was God's plan and purpose for the ages of man, as He had created him 4,000 years prior in the Garden of Eden, and however much time we have in this age of grace, that God was accomplishing in those days related to the Savior's birth, that which would bring the peace, that which would bring the joy, that which would meet the innermost needs of our hearts and of our lives. Only Christ Jesus can do that. And He will, for everyone who in simple, childlike faith comes to Him. Let's pray together.